Some friends and I had gone for a walk in the forest we liked so much. Night had fallen. We were walking. Gradually our laughter faded and the conversation died down. Nothing remained but our friendship, our mutual trust and shared presence, the mildness of the night air and of everything around us. My mind, empty of thought, I was simply registering the world around me, the darkness of the underbrush, the incredible luminosity of the sky, the faint sounds of the forest, branches snapping, an occasional animal call, our own muffled steps, only making the silence more palpable. And then, all of a sudden, what? Nothing. Everything. No words, no meanings, no questions, only a surprise, only this, a seemingly infinite happiness, a seemingly eternal sense of peace. Above me, the starry sky was immense, luminous and unfathomable, and within me there was nothing but the sky, of which I was a part, and the silence, and the light, like a warm hum, and a sense of joy with neither subject nor object. No object other than everything, no subject other than itself. Yet in the darkness of that night, I contained only the dazzling presence of the all. Peace. Infinite peace. Simplicity. Serenity. Delight. I'll speak more about that reading in a few minutes. I want to talk with you just a little bit, invite you to think with me about how faith and mystery go together. Several years ago, probably 45 years ago, I was in Boston wandering around the Museum of Art, and I came across a very large painting. The scene was the South Sea Islands, typical of the paintings of Gauguin. If I remember correctly, the painting was hanging above a door. The door connected two buildings of the museum. The thing that was startling to me about the painting was not the scene, but written across the upper left corner, if I remember correctly, in big capital letters in French, were three sentences. There was a plaque next to the door which translated into English those three sentences. Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? Now, I bet you just remembered now that we just sang that. A man by the name of Brian Tate, a musician in Vancouver, added another little line to it. Mystery, mystery, life is a riddle and a mystery, which we sang twice. Now, if Gauguin's questions are not enough for you, I turn now to the reading which I just used. It's by André Comte-Sponville. André Comte-Sponville is a French philosopher who declares himself to be an atheist. If you notice the citation, the book, the reading is from his little book, a book of atheist spirituality. He begins the book, he ends the book, and throughout the book, he talks about being an atheist. He has a whole chapter, in fact, about why God does not exist. And yet he also has a chapter about spirituality, atheist spirituality. And that's the chapter from which this reading came. Now, in addition to that chapter and that reading, there's a little sentence which I have now posted next to my computer to remind myself. Whether or not you believe in God, the supernatural, or the sacred, you are confronted with the infinite, the eternal, and the absolute, and with yourself. You are confronted with the infinite, the eternal, and the absolute, and with yourself. When we are honest with ourselves, at least as much as honesty as possible with ourselves. We have to admit that we live in mystery and we are confronted with mystery. So I thought about how can I help people think about mystery? And maybe one way is to consider where do we come from, what are we, and where are we going in terms of Unitarian Universalism. The background of Unitarian Universalism is Christianity. We are children of the Protestant Reformation. That's who we are. Our Universalist traditions, the founding documents of Universalism, are all written in very Christian language, with one exception. There's nothing in any of those documents about people being sent to hell. The Universalists insisted in Christian language that God loves everybody. The universal love of God. Universalism. So documents written in Christian language with the exception of God's universal love. Now the same is true for Unitarian heritage. Where do we come from? We're children of the Protestant Reformation. We come from Christianity. In 1819, William Ellery Channing delivered a sermon, an hour and a half. I'm not going to do that, I promise. Delivered a sermon, an hour and a half sermon, and he entitled his sermon, Unitarian Christianity. He proceeded to use the Bible to prove that Unitarians are Christian. The Unitarian concept is one God. Think of a unicycle. That was in the midst of an understanding of God as Trinitarian. Think of a tricycle. One God, not three gods. So Unitarian Universalism proclaims one God who loves everybody. That's the answer we have to Gauguin's question, where do we come from? That's who we are. Now, of course, there's some differences, and I'm getting to those. Gauguin asked a second question in that great painting. What are we? Now, the water gets a little bit muddy here. Some of us you use wish to deny our Christian heritage. There are what Forrest Church, a great Unitarian preacher, used to call fundamentalism of the left. It refuses to consider anything which even hints at Christianity. I've heard of some UU congregations, I doubt it's this one, but I don't know. I've heard of UU congregations where the minister dared not say the word God, and certainly nobody ever used scripture in the sermon. I once encountered a UU minister, a retired UU minister, who insisted in conversation that I could not be Christian because he had heard me say that I did not believe some of the Christian doctrines like the virgin birth or resurrection. He said, you can't be a Christian. That's a perfect example of left-wing fundamentalism. It's a fundamentalism because it insists that to be a Christian means to accept all those doctrines. To be a Christian means to be like Billy Graham or evangelical conservatives, Christian evangelicals that you hear on the television sometimes. To be a Christian, it seems to me, means to be a follower of Jesus' teachings, caring for one another, working to make the world a better place. But fundamentalists of the left insisted you've got to be a Christian in one way. That's sermon for another day. So in addition to the traditional understandings of Unitarian Universalism, the Christian heritage from which we came, we are also well-flavored. Just think about salt or pepper in a dish. We're well-flavored with transcendentalism and humanism and a variety of other religious understandings. All of that sermon for other days. Just look, I'm going to keep inviting myself back if I'm not careful. For example, we would be very poor if it were not for Margaret Fuller and Ralph Waldo Emerson, the great transcendentalists of a century and a half ago. we Unitarian Universalists would be really much poorer if it were not for John Dewey of a century and a half ago and Alice Walker today, great humanist people who taught us something about humanity and humanism. By the way, there are a couple of strains of humanism. One is religious humanism and one is secular humanism. That's another sermon for another day. The point is that we Unitarian Universalists have a marvelous tradition. It cuts across all the boundaries of understandings of religion. We have accepted the ability to think. In our congregation in San Diego, we say an aspiration. The first three lines are these. May love be the spirit of this church. May the quest for truth be its sacrament. Right on. The quest for truth and service be its prayer. The point is that when we use think clearly, we're encouraged to search for truth and service. So Gauguin's second question, what are we, is answered by a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. On the walkway going out to that parking lot, the principles of Unitarian Universalism are along that walkway. Check it. One of those is a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. We are a community of searchers for truth who are working for the good of humanity. That's who we are. With no doctrine, no dogma, other than the doctrine of caring for one another and for the social ills and problems of humanity. And then Gauguin asked a third question. Where are we going? This is where mystery comes in. Some of you may have been to celebrations of life, which are what some people call funerals when someone is deceased. Frequently, those celebrations of life end with these three phrases. In mystery we are born, in mystery we live, in mystery we die. I want to say that a juxtaposition of mystery is faith. Krista Tippett is an award-winning journalist. Maybe some of you have heard her program on NPR. It's called On Being. Her theme is, we need to be engaged in deep thinking and social courage so that we will help ourselves renew our inner lives as well as our outer life together. In one of her books, she writes, mystery is the crux of religion. She goes on to say that too often, mystery evaporates because we come up with glib phrases, easy-sounding words, absolutes. That's not mystery. Another contemporary author, Madeline L'Engle, do you remember Madeline L'Engle? Marvelous Christian writer. Madeline L'Engle wrote that too often professional religion mongers, she should have said preachers, thank you, she didn't. She said, too often professional religious mongers want to make God possible. They want to make Christianity acceptable. And she concludes that paragraph by saying, an acceptable Christianity is not Christian. A comprehensible God is no more than an idol. The usher thankfully left me some water. I was at one church once and they left a glass of water and someone came up afterwards and wanted to know if it was vodka. No, it was water. This is water. An acceptable Christianity is not Christian. A comprehensible God is no more than an idol. Now that same thing could be said for our UU traditions. Any tradition. We water down our understandings when we will not accept the broad range of mystery which is a part of all the things that we try to believe. When we won't accept the broad range of Christianity and Hinduism and other faith traditions, humanism. Some of you may know Mae Sarton, a UU poet of maybe a generation and a half ago, marvelous poetess. She wrote somewhere, we are all wound round in mystery. It seems to me that a significant part of that mystery is faith. Now, I know that's one of those loaded words. We're not careful. Unitarian Universalists don't want to talk about faith because fundamentalists of the left think faith means Christianity. Not necessarily. We tend to equate faith with faith in certain doctrines. No. Our Unitarian Universalist understanding of faith is that faith is a part of a mystery. We don't know everything. We don't have all the answers. We are willing to live with the questions, mystery. So right-wing fundamentalism equates faith with quoting scripture and doctrine. Left-wing fundamentalism tends to ignore the mystery of faith with an unthinking reaction to Christian conservatism. Too often, religion and religious faith ignore mystery in favor of absolutes, quoting scripture, glib doctrines, quoting Ralph Waldo Emerson, quoting Forest Church. We need to be careful lest we equate faith or mystery with thinking we know everything. If there were no other reason for Unitarian Universalism, it is that we encourage thinking and mystery, and we encourage working to make the world a better place. And that's related to faith and hope. I'm reminded of a Broadway show I saw many years ago. It had Edie Gourmet and Steve Lawrence. Now I'm giving my age away. In that play, there was a song about an ant moving a rubber tree plant. An ant can't move a rubber tree plant, but he's got high hope. He's got high hope. He's got high in the sky apple pie hopes. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant. That's who we are. We have high hopes. We know the world can get better. I was at a dinner party recently, and we were pessimistic about our culture and our political situation. We need to remember hope. Sometimes fundamentalists to the left do not want to hear scripture. But I want to share with you a brief sentence from Christian scripture, which I think defines mystery. It goes like this: faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Mystery is the assurance of things hoped for. Mystery is the conviction of things not seen. One too easy answer is that atheists cannot be spiritual. I just read a reading about that. One too easy answer is you can't be a Christian without believing all the orthodox doctrines. All of those doctrines were added long after Jesus' life. The difficult answer that we want to provide as Unitarian Universalists is the mystery of faith. We do not have all knowledge. We do not accept glib, easy answers. We are not afraid to say with the atheist, Andre Comte Sponville, in the reading I read, no words, no meanings, but a sense of peace. When we Unitarian Universalists are true to our heritage, that faith is not assurance, it is a mystery. When we are true to our faith, we know we have no easy answers to hard questions. One very significant element of the mystery of faith is hope. The hope the ant had to move the rubber tree plant. So then, we can assert with Longfellow, who wrote the lyrics to the hymn we sang earlier in this service, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. Near the end of that hymn, he wrote the lines that we hope for the time when the wrong shall fail and the right prevail. And our responsibility as Unitarian Universalists is the mystery of hope and working to make it happen. The awe of Hanukkah, Betty told the story about Hanukkah, and the children and the potato latkes. The awe of Hanukkah is that light will overcome darkness. That's the true meaning of Hanukkah. The awe of Christmas is that an immigrant baby born in a barn carried with him the story of God's love and love for all people. The awe of mystery encourages us not to get hung up on the literal words of the Christmas carols. They're all metaphors. They're metaphors to help us understand the riddle of life. The riddle of life, which is mystery. Mystery which is well flavored with hope. May it be so for each of our lives. Amen, and thank you for listening.